Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Alpha's Warlock by Elliot Grayson, narrated by Chris Chambers. Chapter 1. Cursed. It had been years since I set foot in the Armitage Pack's territory, and I'd hoped to keep that winning streak going for a while longer. Of course, being kidnapped and cursed had a way of changing her plans. Not that I was really setting foot in it now. More like setting hands and knees. I'd fallen so many times that I'd stopped trying to get back up and was just crawling through the thick, loamy mud under the drenched forest canopy. The patter of chill rain on the back of my neck was bad enough, every drop sending new shivers down my spine. But my soaked jeans were chafing in every direction and on every sensitive bit of me. Why had I worn skinny jeans this tight again? Oh, right, going out clubbing and not planning on being kidnapped and cursed. Mud squelched through my fingers and seeped into my ankle boots. I'd been so careless, so arrogant. My father, such as he was, had been dead for 2 glorious years, and the magic he'd stolen for me all my life was finally back where it belonged. I could take anyone, right? A powerful, young warlock, paranoid as only years of living in the shadow of a criminal with a lot of enemies could make me. And all it took was a few drops of witchbane poison in my fruity cocktail. So impressive. My father, may he rot in hell, would be laughing his freaking ass off. With a grunt and a pitiful moan, I lurched from crawling to belly flopping in the mud. A wet and filthy rotting leaf poked into my mouth, and I spat it out, my stomach heaving as the flavor of mold burst on my tongue. I wasn't going to make it. Where the hell were the pack's perimeter guards? Someone had to patrol this huge territory, what with rival packs only a few miles away, and a master vampire and his brood in the next town over. Especially since one of those rival packs had snatched me from the club, and especially since they'd done it as the first step in a plot against the Armitage Pack. Or at least so I'd gathered as they chained me up in an abandoned warehouse, drew a circle of burnt celandine, and had their pack shaman start a ritual nauseatingly similar to the one my father used to do every month at the new moon.
"Armitage can't defend against this,"
one of the werewolves in the corner of the room had said to another, gesturing my way.
"Once his energy's bound to yours, he'll have all your resilience and all his powers, all under your control. He'll be the perfect weapon."
He'd sounded like he was trying to talk the other wear out of some serious doubts about the plan. I thought the other wear was probably the smart one, since I had some serious doubts myself. Strike that. I had no doubts at all. I was going to die here in the forest, my magic drained out of me by this fucking curse, my body withered away to nothing, and sinking into the mud until only a few bones wrapped in skinny jeans remained. And then I heard the growl. It was the kind of sound that would make any human's nervous system go into overdrive. It had a low, throbbing undertone to it that raised all the hairs on the back of my neck. I managed to turn my head and peer into the pre-dawn gloom. A pair of glowing golden eyes looked back at me, set in the face of a wolf with his, probably his, but I sure as hell wasn't going to try to inspect, teeth bared. Finally. Jesus. Would it kill them to keep a better eye on their borders?
"I'm Nate Hawthorne," I rasped faintly, drowned out by the rain.
It didn't matter. With the wolf's supernatural hearing, I could have been twice the distance away and he'd have heard me as well as if I'd had a microphone.
"I need to see Matthew Armitage."
The wolf stared me down,
My head started to spin, and I dropped down, my cheek hitting the ground with a splat. "Take me to your leader." I started to giggle, my chest heaving as the laughter morphed into sobs, the curse draining more of my life away. I could feel it like a physical tug on every vein and nerve. The wolf tipped his head back and let out a long howl, a call that probably carried all the way to the other edge of the pack's territory. And then he came a cautious couple of steps closer, sniffed me, let out a disgusted huff, and settled on his haunches a few feet away. He was waiting for someone then. Backup. Maybe. Hopefully. Someone who could find me a shower and a borrowed pair of boxers. At least he wasn't ripping out my throat. I probably passed out for a few minutes, because between one second and the next, another wolf was prowling out of the forest. Even with the rising sun hidden behind clouds, and even with my vision as bleary as it was, I could see that he was enormous, easily half again as large as the first. Most of the werewolves I'd seen fully shifted had some shade of gray fur, but this one had a coat like a tawny owl, variegated hues of brown and tan, dappled like sunlight through trees. The wolf came right up to me with a nonchalant saunter that was more than a little insulting. To be fair, if I'd been a giant predator with 4-inch razor-sharp retractable claws, I probably wouldn't have been too terrified of the twink and skinny jeans lying in the mud like a lump either. He sniffed me like the other werewolf had, and then shoved one dinner plate-sized paw under my shoulder and flipped me like a pancake. An expression that in a human would be utter horror and disbelief was oddly clear even on that lupin face. His lips drew back, exposing a wicked set of fangs.
"I need to see Matthew," I choked out, hoping to convince him before he ripped my guts out and had his minion throw me down a ravine.
I hadn't meant to tell the details of the story to anyone but the leader of the Armitage Pack, for the sake of discretion. But wasn't saving your own ass the better part of discretion? Or something?
"I was kidnapped by the Kimball Pack, and it had something to do with your pack. And Jesus, you don't need to kill me."
My voice rose to a squeak as he leaned in, his teeth fully on display, his enormous muzzle way, way too fucking close for comfort. But he didn't bite, just sniffed me again, from my head all the way down to my feet, pausing at my wrists. Finally, he let out a surprised-sounding huff. A second later, his huge form blurred, rippled, and reshaped into a man nearly as enormous compared to other humans as his wolf form was compared to garden-variety wolves. Messy auburn hair curled around his temples, and his freckles might have given him an air of innocence if it weren't for the cold, pale blue eyes. Oh, and the shoulders and chest bulging with muscle, and the claws. Either way, I knew he was the opposite of innocent, and I knew damn well who he was. My heart sank. Ian Armitage. My dead ex-lover Jared's best friend and cousin, the pack leader's second in command, and one of the most feared werewolves in Northern California. And he hated me. The curse might still try to kill me, but now it would probably have to get in line. Ian flexed his hand, extended his gleaming claws, and laid them gently across my throat. My vision blurred as my heart rate shot into the stratosphere.
"What the fuck are you doing here? One flicker of a lie, and you'll be dead in seconds."
I had to struggle for breath before I could answer, and that was irritating as hell, Yes, I was less than thrilled to have a supernatural apex predator about to rip out my jugular. But mostly I was just cursed. And having him interpret my shortness of breath as pure terror was plain embarrassing.
You can smell them on me, can't you? The Kimbles,
I panted, and he nodded, his grip on my throat tightening and nearly puncturing my veins fraction.
They kidnapped me, and they started some kind of...
Deep breath.
Ritual.
I forced another breath into my lungs.
I need to see Matthew.
Was the sun going down again? That wasn't right. It was just coming up. But everything had gotten darker. Yeah, I was passing out. Everything went black, and Ian's furious face was the last thing I saw. Chapter 2. At the Mercy of the Pack. Waking up sucked nearly as much as passing out in the freezing cold mud with an alpha werewolf threatening to kill me, but a lot less than getting chained up and chanted at by a shaman trying to turn me into a slave. So, hey, chalk one up in the win column. I blinked, then blinked again, and then gave up when my vision stayed stubbornly fuzzy. I was dry, and I should have been warm. I was in a bed and under a pile of blankets, but I was goosebumpy and shivering in spite of what felt like a real feather comforter and a set of flannel sheets. Looking around the best I could with only half my vision, I caught glimpses of ugly wood paneling, a ceiling painted mustard yellow, and a few other items of bedroom furniture, probably a dresser and a nightstand and maybe a chair. There was some kind of psychedelic poster on the opposite wall, although thankfully I couldn't see it very well. Not that anyone had ever accused werewolves of having a lot of aesthetic sense, but seriously? I was probably going to die in a place that looked like a set designer from that 70s show threw up everywhere. I tried to sit up, but yeah, still cursed. My muscles quivered with the effort of scooting up the bed and tucking the pillows behind my head a little more firmly to prop it up. There was a faintly musty, mildewy smell that made my esophagus tighten up and bile rise to the back of my throat. "Hello?" I called out. "Anyone there?" Even if they were going to kill me, or to save effort and blood clean up, just let me die, they'd probably give me a glass of water, right? A second later, heavy footsteps came nearer, and then the bedroom door opened to admit two werewolves. One of them welcome, the other one definitely not. Matthew Armitage was 5 years or so older than Ian, but aside from also being an alpha, he didn't have much in common with his younger, definitely not little, brother. He wasn't glaring like he wanted me dead 10 minutes ago, for one thing. He hadn't liked his cousin Jared very much, maybe because Jared had been an unbelievable prick who openly plotted to take Matthew's place leading the pack. I thought Matthew's stance was pretty reasonable. Ian, on the other hand, always thought Jared could do no wrong. When Jared died under questionable circumstances, Ian blamed me. After all, if Jared hadn't been glamored or ensorcelled or whatever Ian thought I'd done to get his cousin to fuck a warlock, he wouldn't have had to sneak out of the pack's territory without telling anyone where he was going. I thought Jared could have solved the whole sneaking around problem by admitting he was seeing me to his family. But hey, I was biased against being the guy's dirty little secret, so sue me.
"Nate," Matthew said with a nod. His tone wasn't exactly welcoming, but he didn't seem hostile either. Ian, glowering behind him with his arms crossed over his massive chest, had that covered for both of them. Matthew just sounded wary, and I couldn't really blame him under the circumstances. Looks like you ran into some trouble with the Kimballs. Looks like he's probably working with the Kimballs to kill you, Ian grumbled, the tone of a man who'd already said the same thing 20 times. Matthew turned his head to shoot him a quelling glance.
You know what they say about assumptions?
Yeah, you're already an ass, Ian shot back. I really couldn't stand the guy, but if I hadn't been so weak, I would have had to fight not to laugh at the look of disgust on Matthew's face. I'd always wished I had a brother, but these two made me wonder if it was worth it. I'd known all the Armitage boys since we were kids, and I'd soothed the desperate, grinding loneliness and envy I always felt when I saw them together, by reminding myself how much they beat each other up and argued. And then Matthew gently bumped Ian's shoulder with his, a gesture of such understanding affection that my chest ached. Yeah, it was worth it. Too bad my only family had been a father who saw me as a walking magic battery. They definitely want to kill you, I put in, and the brothers turned to look at me in unison. Two pairs of eerie light blue eyes fixed on me with a little too much intensity. So maybe they had a few things in common, despite Matthew's dark hair and slightly less huge build and general ability not to be a dick. But I'm not working with them. I had to struggle for breath to get the rest of the words out. This curse fucking sucked. More like doing their dirty work for them, if they'd had their way. They kidnapped me last night. Matthew's eyes narrowed.
Kidnapped you?
My cheeks heated, and I couldn't quite make eye contact. His disbelief was kind of flattering, but convincing him was going to require admitting what a fucking idiot I'd been. There was this guy, okay, at this bar. He distracted me, and he managed to get enough witchbane in my drink that by the time I realized, I was already too drained to fight back.
Distracted you? How exactly? Ian demanded gruffly.
How do you think? I snapped. We were in a club. You do the math. Ian made a gagging sound.
Can't keep an eye on your drink when you're bent over in a bathroom stall, right?
Fury shot through me, fierce and bright enough to halfway counteract the draining effects of the curse for a second. I sat upright, fists balled in the blankets.
Fuck you, Ian! Like you've never been ambushed by a vamp because you were too busy going down on a biker chick in a back alley. All right, you have.
He turned bright red and actually snarled at me, teeth bared.
What the fuck do you know about?
Just what Jared told me,
I snarled right back. Not as impressively, since, you know, no giant canine sprouting out of my gums, but I gave it my best. That shut him up. He froze, every one of his muscles going rigid at once. Matthew wrapped his hand around Ian's bicep, squeezing hard enough to break the arm of a normal human.
Out, Ian. I'm not leaving you alone with this son of a... Now,
Matthew said, low and quiet. It was more effective than shouting would have been. I wasn't aware, and I wasn't Matthew's subordinate. But even I felt the pack leader's power behind that one syllable. Matthew stared Ian down until he stalked out, muttering. He slammed the door, and then there was silence. It was pretty clear he was standing right outside and not going anywhere. Matthew shrugged, sighed, and crossed the room to drag the chair over to the side of the bed. Without Ian there to put up a front for, I sagged back against the pillows, my head swimming in circles. Matthew would give me a fair hearing, and he already knew how weak I was. There wasn't much point in trying to hide it.
All right,
Nate, he said, sitting down and resting his chin in one propped hand.
How about you focus less on pissing Ian off, and more on telling me what the fuck is actually going on here?
But he's so easy to piss off. Matthew gave me a long look I couldn't interpret.
Not usually.
Right, I believe that. I'd never seen Ian with less than a scowl on his face. Whatever.
Whatever works for me. What happened last night?
Can I get a glass of water first? My throat was already dry as a desert, which didn't seem fair, considering how much rainwater I'd absorbed that morning. And maybe a bathroom?
Matthew was actually grinding his teeth together by the time he'd helped me to the ensuite bathroom, waited for me to take a wobbly piss and fill a glass from the tap a few times, and then helped me get back to bed, and finally I was settled again. I took a deep breath.
I was at the Morning Star last night. It wasn't a very inspiring story since it started. Just like Ian thought, damn him, with me getting bent over in a bathroom stall. I glossed over that part as much as I could, and Matthew only rolled his eyes a little, because he was awesome like that. It took a while, what with me having to pause to pant for air, but I managed to get the main points laid out. Kidnapped, chained, one shaman and several werewolves gathered in the warehouse, and a ritual that was meant to create a bond between me and one of the wares. Matthew listened impassively, but when I got to what I'd overheard between the two werewolves, Matthew leaned forward, brow furrowed and attention completely engaged.
Describe them, the ones who were talking, especially the one you were supposed to be bound to.
He was older, maybe 50. He wasn't the pack leader, though. I've seen Sam Kimball. It wasn't him. I don't think he was there.
Matthew waved an impatient hand. You said it seemed like they were doing a ritual that would create a bond? A mating bond? I hesitated. I'd been fudging the truth a little bit, because admitting how long and how badly my father had used me wasn't something I liked to do. I was ashamed of how much power he'd had over me, horrified by what he'd done with the magical strength he drained from me. So instead of telling Matthew I'd known what the ritual would probably do because my father had done something like it to me, over and over, for years, I'd said it was like a spell meant to create a mate bond. But if Matthew knew something I didn't, the distinction might be important.
I didn't see all of it, I hedged. Maybe, maybe not. Either way, it would have created a connection. Maybe even a conduit. Something meant to share the magic of the two parties back and forth, only with one in control and the other subordinate.
But is it something you could do if one of the two people involved already had a mate bond? Matthew paused. Because one of Kimball's brothers isn't mated, and neither is one of his seconds. Either of them could fit the description you've given. If a mated werewolf could do this, then that puts Kimball's other brothers and his uncle into play. Kimball wasn't there. That means he either didn't authorize this, or he didn't want to be directly involved. If one of his inner circle is betraying him, or working against his orders, I want to know which one, especially since the pack shaman is working with whoever it is.
I don't think it would work if he already had a mate bond, I said, after considering it for a minute. I was being honest about that, at least, which salved my conscience. The two bonds would conflict, cancel each other out, or blow up, or something.
That's helpful, Matthew said dryly. Really, good to see your magical expertise is so detailed.
Bite me, I muttered, and then quickly added, Figuratively. Figuratively, Matthew.
He laughed a little, but he sobered at once.
Let's skip the biting for now, and get to the part where you were in the middle of being bonded and ended up crawling through my territory at dawn.
That wasn't actually hard to explain. I'd been under the influence of the Witchbane when the ritual started, but burning through it faster than they would have expected. After all, I was pretty strong. More than pretty strong. What I lacked was control, because I'd been denied most of the training I should have had as an adolescent. Yeah, I could do the basics. Warding, minor illusions, transforming simple physical objects, in my sleep. But I couldn't do a lot of the showier magic that powerful warlocks like to flash around to impress the masses. Everyone underestimated me as a result, to the point where the money I pulled in for my freelance magic jobs barely kept me in a crappy studio apartment and a few pairs of outlet store jeans. And even though my raw power meant I'd shaken off the effects of the potion faster than my captors probably expected, I still would have been screwed if it hadn't been for the sheer, overwhelming terror that hit me as I realized what they were doing. If I'd learned control as a kid, I'd have been so conditioned to only use my power carefully that the Witchbane would have been enough to keep me helpless. But the fear and rage and blind animal instinct to get away won't be bound again, would rather die. It all burst out of me in a wave of unchanneled power that disintegrated my chains, flung my kidnappers in all directions, shouting and slamming into walls, and blew out the side of the warehouse in a cloud of splinters and flying nails. I ran, and I ran, and I must have used more magic to move faster, because when I came back to something like rationality, I was already less than a mile from the edge of the Armitage territory. I didn't know exactly where I'd started out.
Okay, Matthew said, after he'd digested that for a minute. Why are you here? I blinked at him.
Is that a trick question?
The words came out a little slow, a little slurred. I was starting to fade, even though the nap I'd taken had helped me a little. I needed to eat, and I needed more sleep, and more than anything, I needed a magical fix.
Matthew frowned at me. No. And stop wasting the little strength you have fucking around.
You needed to know.
He looked at me expectantly. I sighed.
And I needed your help. Because who the fuck else is going to help me right now?
So, I owe you for coming here and giving me a heads up. And now I help you fix whatever's wrong with you? Fine. I'll buy what you're selling, if it's not too expensive. What do you need? Some herbs? A chalk circle or something?
Patronizing much?
He shrugged. I'm not a practitioner.
Well, no shit. Werewolves almost never were. The rare werewolf who could cast actual magic became a pack shaman, and those fuckers were worth their weight in gold. The Kimball pack was as successful as they were in large part because they had one.
Anyway, make a list. You look like shit.
Yeah, I was sure I did, if I looked anything like I felt. Which meant my time was running out, and I couldn't put off the moment of truth I'd been tap dancing around, because I'd had a lot of time to think it over. Making my miserable snail-like way through the woods in the middle of the night, and I'd come to a horrible and inescapable conclusion once I had. I needed Matthew's help. Without it, I was as good as dead. And his pack was the only place I could get what I needed.
Chapter 3. The Only Option.
It's not a list. I mean, I don't need any supplies or herbs or fucking chalk for fuck's sake. Jesus.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?